All right, let's take our Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm glad that I don't have to stay up at night and guess and wonder about what I'm supposed to preach or say. That my charge by God is to preach the Word, and I got 66 books of them, so we're glad that wherever we open the Word of God, God's trying to speak to us as His children. And tonight we are in 2 Corinthians 4, picking up where we left off, and preaching tonight on treasure in earthen vessels. We sung that. That was in our hymn of constantly abiding tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Now we've already looked at verse 1 about why we should not faint. We also looked at the verses of all those troublesome things that come in our lives from starting in verse 8 and following. What a passage of Scripture. If you want good perspective of life, this is the passage to read. And as he ends the chapter, he lets us know that we must look at eternal things and not temporal things. That subject could not be overemphasized. Because today, man is just looking at the immediate. He's not looking at the permanent. And the permanent is what you cannot see. And the immediate that you can see has very little value because it will pass away. But if we don't get our priorities sorted out in that fashion, then certainly we will be one of those that faint. And we can't afford to faint because the ministry to other people is counting on us. And in continuing that thought, I'm in verse 2 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The Bible says, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them, which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. The first thing I want to call your attention to is down there in verse 4 where he says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. I want to talk to you about the God of this world for a minute. You know, because we live in a day where this world has a God that's not the God of the Bible, we've got a great job to do because Jesus is not running the show down here. You say, well, I thought God was... No, God is still God. He is still powerful enough to move kings and move kingdoms. But make no mistake about it, what's going on in this world is because this world has a certain God. And I remind you, don't ever blame the God of the Bible what's going on in this world. Because what's going on in this world is a result of whose this world's God is. And the reason we're in the condition we're in today is because this world has chosen the wrong God. And if the world would get rid of their God, amen, if the world would get rid of their God and get the God of the Bible, then everything would be different in their lives. I really believe this. I believe, and I told you the other day, and it was just a precursor. All of these people that are being gunned down, and I still don't hear their names. Do you hear their names? And they're growing by leaps and bounds all the time in some of the most gun-controlled cities in America. And they're dying, just children everywhere around us dying. And I tell you what, if Chicago would stop and repent and fall on their knees and go to God and say, we're going to reject the God that we have right now, and we want the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, everything would change. But see, here's the problem. The world doesn't want the God of the Bible. The world's already chosen their God, and the God of this world is very evident. Not my God. I won't say this, my God's bigger than their God. Amen. I'll never forget when I heard Brother Sutek preach that for the first time on the street. He got out there and amen. He started preaching. He said, my God is bigger than your God. I thought, wow. And they stopped and looked. How do you even know who my God is? Whoever your God is, my God's bigger than your God. But the God of this world, we know who the God of this world is. It's the devil. Satan is the God of this world. He's like a roaring lion. He's as an angel of light. The God of this world is the tempter. The God of this world is the one that the world worships. The one the world follows. The one the world obeys. You know, you ask the average person if they thought they worshiped the devil or followed the devil or obeyed the devil, they would say, well, of course I don't. And it's because, look at your text, verse 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them. The people that the devil is the God of, they don't even know that. Many of them are even in religious circles. The devil is the God of religion. He's the God of religion. He's the God of Islam. How about that for a prejudicial statement? The God of Islam is Satan. Put that on the internet. The God of Hinduism is Satan. I'll go a step further. The God of the Roman Catholic Church is the devil. The God of all religion outside the Bible is the devil. The devil's always used religion. He's the God of this world. You say, preacher, how do you know that the devil is the God of this world? Because they sing his music. Isn't it so crazy that the world wants to stop churches from singing music to Jesus? But they sing music to the devil every day. And if you're saved, God forgive you if you sing that music. The devil has his own music. You know why some people that say they're Christians are bored with singing to God, but they don't have any problem singing to their honky-tonk music or whatever else they want to listen to? Because they're following the God of this world. Amen. I mean, if the God of the Bible is your God, Jesus is your God, you ought to be singing His music. Right? Get rid of the devil's music. You don't hear a lot of preaching about that. When I was a teenager, that's all they preached to us about, you know. It's about your rock and roll and, you know, your fornicate. Boy, we've had to change some of the stuff we preach. Because we've got other things that are a lot more serious than some of that. But it's still serious to sing and to love the God of this world's music. Amen. We know that Satan's God of this world because they sing his music. They don't only sing his music, but they drink his drink. Well, we have the most drunken society. It is so. People are professed Christians now, you know. They're talking about their wine drinking and their social drinking. God forbid. Look, God's never changed. The God of this world has a drink, and it ain't Coca-Cola. They drink his drink. They speak his lies. They espouse his philosophies. I'm talking about why our world is like it is. They show his hatred. The God of this world is such in charge that they do his violence. You know, why doesn't somebody stand up and say, you know, I tell you why we have all this violence in America. It's because the devil is running the show. It's because the devil is people's daddy. Why don't people say that? God Almighty never instructed us to do violence to people. Look, I've never had the urge to get my shotgun and go to the mall and start shooting people. Well, why? Just because I'm such a good person and I have a sane mind? No, I'm in a different family. God is my father and I take after my dad.
Amen.
Right, I don't kill anybody. I mean, I don't want to kill anybody even if they deserve killing. But if you push it, you know, I mean, if you should come to my house, it'd be a different story. But I don't want to kill anybody. Well, why don't people get down to the bottom line, you see? What's wrong with America? The devil. The devil's in people. The devil's the god of this world. And they have his viewpoints. And they think his thoughts. And they love his wickedness. And they follow his leaders. And they learn his religion. And while they do that, they blame God and everybody else for the problem. When the problem is, this world needs to change gods. The god of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. Hold your finger and go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We live in a blind culture, a blind society. They can't see their nose on their face. Can't even see right in front of them. And look, guys, this before we get through this text, this is our job. We've got to shine the light to a bunch of blind people. That's the mandate of our text. The god of this world has blinded people, but we have the job to shine the light to them. What is that going to matter? You shine a light in the eyes of a blind man, he didn't see anything. But yet there's something supernatural in that, though. We'll have to look at that. But 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. This is about the Antichrist, which I believe we're fast approaching. I'm just glad we're approaching a rapture before that. Amen. I don't have to worry about that. But the world does. Verse 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. There's coming a day that not only the god of this world will blind men's eyes, but God Almighty will also blind them. He says, if you won't receive this truth that I've brought to you, that I've shined to you, that I've offered to you, if you would rather have a lie than have the truth, then I will go ahead and send you that delusion and you'll be damned. Because here's the choice. The choice is, are you going to believe God's truth or are you going to accept the devil's lie? And the devil's got plenty of them. The god of this world hath blinded the minds of them. So here's the choice. Blindness or belief. Blinded the minds of them which believe not. And I would make another spiritual application to us as children of God. There are saved people that are blind too. Yeah. You see how you know that? 2 Peter chapter 1. He that doesn't add to his faith. That individual that doesn't grow in the Lord, the Bible tells us that he'll forget that he was purged from his old sins. He cannot see afar off. He's just blind. He even forgot about how God saved him. Because he's also blind as a believer, because he, at some point in his life, he said, I'm not going to go any farther with the Lord. Listen to me. Every one of us have got farther to go with the Lord. Every one of us. We all have a place to add to our faith. And I'm telling you, just as sure as you're sitting there, if you get to the place where you will not add to your faith anymore and you won't grow in your faith anymore and you don't want to be like Jesus anymore, you're going to get blind. You're not going to be able to see. You're not going to see what's important in life. You're going to be confused. You're going to fall into a ditch. And so the Bible says this. What's the answer to that? Believe. If you believe, you won't be blind. Because the only people that the devil can blind have blinded the minds of them, listen, that which believe not. The devil can't blind anybody's eyes who will believe God. If you get deceived, it's because you won't believe God. If you'll keep your faith and trust in God and what God said, then the devil won't be able to deceive you. It's when we start doubting what God says. It's when we turn away from what God says. It's when we do not have our faith increased in this, in the God that we say we love, that the devil gets an open door into our hearts and he'll work on our minds. It says he blinded the minds of them. I tell you what, we live in a crazy society. And people are crazy for one reason. The devil is in charge of their thinking. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them. So we need to believe God. That means that faith is such an important aspect of your life. Are you growing in faith? Are you trusting God? You know, if you look at society, look what this passage says about the God of this world. How in the world are we going to make a difference? We can get so discouraged that evidently, if you read Paul's writings, you read all these troubles that he's having in this chapter. He could get so discouraged that he faints, you see. That's what he's writing about. How do we not get so discouraged that we faint? We believe God. We trust God. How do we keep going on in a culture and a society that totally wholesale is going to reject what's true? You just believe God and you keep going on. He says, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. It's either the devil's darkness or the gospel's light. Look at it. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The devil blinds and sin blinds, but the Bible's the light and Jesus is light and the gospel is the light. You know how else the devil blinds people? Look up there, verse 2. And some people that say that they're God's workers get caught in the devil's operations. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, he says, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. He says, we're not going to handle the word of God deceitfully. You know the devil handles the word of God deceitfully? The devil handles the word of God. He handled it there in the Garden of Eden. He handled the word of God with Jesus in the temptation there. The devil loves to handle the word of God. He just handles it to his own purposes. He handles it deceitfully. Why? He's got an ulterior motive. He's dishonest in what he's doing. He's crafty in what he's doing. You know, the devil might even give you a verse of what you want to do that's against the will of God if you're not careful. I mean, there's a host of people that are deceitful on the airways and the radio and the TV that handle the Bible, but they're Satan's workers. They're deceitful workers. Just like he said in chapter 2, verse 17, we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. Evidently, the Corinthians were exposed to some people that were handling the word of God for a wrong motivation. How does the devil handle the word of God deceitfully? Well, he'll add to it. I get so put out, you know. I like the music on the radio station, the BBN, but I can't stand the Bible teaching. I can't stand anybody adding something to the Bible. That's what the devil does. So how does he handle the secret? He adds something to it, and then he takes away something from it. He doesn't say all the words that are there. You know, he'll even take out whole verses in some places and people don't even know. I can't believe people that I grew up with threw away their King James Bible for something that the devil has given that's added and subtracted and just changed things and removed them. I tell you another way the devil will deceitfully use the Bible, take it out of context. Take it out of context. And we don't do that. You know what we do? We open the Bible and we just say what God says. Just say what God says. You have not heard me get up in this pulpit and say, well, this means this, or this word is better translated to be this. I don't even use Greek in this pulpit. You know why? You know, you're not a Greek. Why would I use Greek on people that don't know Greek? I learned a long time ago, people do things It's like mechanics, you know, or some, you know, if you talk to a nuclear engineer and he starts talking all these things about this nuclear engineer stuff, you wouldn't have a clue what he's saying. He could have told you, you know, they use bubble gum and say it the wrong way and you wouldn't know how in the world all that was put together. And you just say, yeah, you're smart. That's what some people do with the Bible. Well, in the Greek it says. How do you know? Were you there when he wrote it? And I had 2 years of Greek. And graduated magna cum laude, thank you. But what I'm trying to tell you is, people that try to add or subtract, they try to flaunt their education. Don't listen to that stuff. Look, that you got enough to handle in the black and white 6th grade English in that Bible, brother. You don't need anything else. And what we're trying to do, we're trying to open this Bible up, and my motivation is not to open this Bible and teach you what I think or what I want you to say. That's why we go verse by verse through the Bible. If I picked and chose all of the subjects that we, then you might say, well, you know, the preacher's got an agenda here. And some preachers do. You know what my agenda is? Get your nose in the Bible and for you to see everything that God said and to take it into your life. And if anybody else doesn't agree with that, whatever it says, throw them out. Don't listen to them. That Bible's the boss. If I see something that don't line up with that Bible, forget what I say. Because the devil uses the Bible for his purposes. Politicians will even quote the Bible for their own purposes. But it's not the purpose to turn the world away from the God of this world. So that's the God, that's the bad news. Look at verse 2 again. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness. Renounce, that means you just turn your back on all that. Aren't you glad there was a day, if you're in here and you're really saved by the grace of God and you want to do right, there was a day that you renounced some things. I've just turned my back on it. I've renounced it. Won't have nothing to do with it. Don't belong to that anymore. Have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Not walking in craftiness, nor having the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Now, here's our job in our darkened world that the devil is the God of. We have to appeal to people's consciences. And we have to shine that light. So the first point was the God of this world. The second thing I want to talk to you about is shine the light. Shining the light, commending yourself to every man's conscience by manifesting the truth to them. That's why I told you, I asked you to pray about what I said this morning. Because what I'm trying to say is, we somehow need to appeal to people's consciences. And okay, you look at systemic racism and you look at all these problems and all that's going on. You look at all that, but what we're trying to appeal to is your conscience. We need you to look into your heart. Because none of that's going to matter if you die and go to hell. You see what I'm saying? We've got to appeal to people's consciences. You're a sinner too. You may not be a sinner like somebody else is a sinner, but you're just as guilty as they are. And as we said this morning, there's only one life that matters. There's only one that ever mattered. You better hook your train up to him. There's an eternity. That's the only thing that matters. We've got to appeal to people's consciences. You're barking up a wrong tree if you try to argue with people about stuff. Appeal to their conscience. You know, when you go to bed at night, you know what's wrong with you. You know you have a problem. How many of you are old, you know, you were on up in years before you got saved, and you knew what it was like to go to bed and live with yourself? And you knew your heart wasn't right with God. And you knew if you were to die that night, you'd wake up in hell. We need to appeal to people's consciences. We need to shine the light of the truth and manifest the truth to them. How do we do that? This is our great job. This is our great purpose in life. Look at the text, he says, in verse number 3. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. We have a hidden gospel from blinded minds. You can't even almost imagine being in a worse condition. And our gospel is hid today. I mean, the average person couldn't find the gospel. They couldn't find good news with a flashlight or a microscope. Where are they going to find good news in society? They're not unless you and I shine the light to them. It is our gospel. You see that? But if our gospel, the only good news is our good news. The only gospel is our gospel. The only truth is our truth that will set men free. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And we can get so involved in other things. But God says, don't keep it hidden. Don't put a bushel over your light. You need to let your light shine. He said in verse 4, whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. God wants to shine the light through our lives. He wants to shine the gospel to this dark world through our lives. And I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, if we're not engaged in that activity, we have no purpose to keep living on this earth. Because this whole world is the God of this world runs this world. And we've got one job, and that's to shine the light. To shine the gospel. He said, preacher, I'm not very good at that. You know, we did that yesterday. I looked back down the road. I was up the road, and I looked down the road, and I saw 25 scripture signs on the road all the way down. It blessed my heart. I even took a picture of it. You don't take a selfie and put it there. Put that one on. Christ died for our sins, according to Scripture. People don't take selfies like that and put them on the Internet. Here's my Scripture sign I'm holding. Ooh, it got sort of quiet right there. Why'd it get quiet right there? I just want to put on Instagram my picture of me holding the sign of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. Why don't people do that? You know why? Because that's light. And that'll pierce the darkness. And a lot of people don't want to shine the light in the dark world. They just want to sort of fit in the darkness. That's not why I'm here. You can hold a sign. You can shine the light. Amen. You can shine the light. You can give a tract. You can shine the light. There's all sorts of ways to shine the light. You don't have to be a preacher. It's not written to preachers. If you can give your money to missions, you can help shine the light a little farther than where it goes from you. We have no other hidden agenda but to shine the light to the world. That's our job as believers. And he said in Matthew 5, verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Shine the light. He said, ye are the light of the world. If we're the light of the world, church, how brightly is it shining? If you yourself are the light of the world, how bright is it shining? Oh, preacher, what a dark world. Yeah, but who's shining the light? We saw in Philippians chapter 2, verse 15 and 16, holding forth the word of life. We live in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. We preached on that a week ago Sunday. Oh, preacher, our nation. It grieves me. I had people come up to me after the service. I had people text me. I had people talk to me. That message is going farther than I thought it was going. That listen to that message. Oh, and burdened about it. What do we do, preacher? Well, the whole point of that, our country's in a mess and our hearts are broken. They had to go home because Brother Mason's got a sinus issue or something, had to go. Miss Mason came up to me, I'll say this because she's not here. She came up to me after church on last Sunday morning, and she was just bawling. She said, my son-in-law died fighting for this country that now they're trying to tear down. And she's just crying. That moves me. Doesn't it move you? That people died, gave their life for what people now trying to tear down. You say, well, what do we do? Look, our job's not to build America. Our job's not to even save our form of government. Our job as Christians is to shine the light in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Shine as lights in the world. Well, what can it shine the light? He said, that light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who's the image of God, should shine. How do we shine that light? Well, we'll shine that light in several ways. Look at verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. There's one way to shine your light. Preach Jesus. Don't preach yourself. Amen. I think we have had a problem with some of that in our history, of preaching ourselves. That's vanity. We preach Christ. We've not ourselves. We preach Christ. You say, well, I'm a woman. You can preach Jesus anyway. How about that? You can't be a pastor. I got a verse of scripture on that for that. Amen. Acts chapter 8. The Bible said they held men and women, committed them to prison, and then they got out and they went everywhere preaching the word. You know, amen, every time these ladies, and God help us to get some of these things opened up, if the greatest thing would happen to get rid of this virus so we could get back in the jails, amen, and back in the prisons and back in the nursing homes and back into places in the public arena so we could preach Christ. These ladies preach Christ. We preach Him in the public schools. You can preach Jesus to your neighbor. Preach Jesus to your family. Everybody can do that. We're not talking about from a pulpit of wood up here in the church house. We're talking about preaching Jesus to the world. Amen. Giving Jesus to the world. By doing that, you shine the light. Let me ask you a question. How much have you talked about Jesus in the last month? Just talk about Jesus. Oh, we're so guilty. We talk about everything, and usually about 85% of it's about us. Can you ask yourself a question? Why don't I talk about Jesus more? Could you ask yourself that question? Why don't I talk about Jesus more? We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. What else can I do to shine my light, preacher? He says there in verse 5, look at it. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. You can let your light shine through the preaching of Jesus Christ, who is the image of God. He's the only standard of God. He's the only Savior. He's the only righteous. He's the only substitute. He's the only payment of sin. He's the only gift of God. He's the only eternal life. But you can also shine your light by just serving others. Look at it. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus Lord, and ourselves your servant. For Jesus' sake. Are you serving other people? You know what's sad? A lot of people's idea of serving God is twisted. They think if they are not a pastor or a Sunday school teacher or a missionary somewhere on a foreign land that they're not a servant of Christ. I'm glad that I taught my children that wasn't the case. That our lives, no matter what they are, all of them are is for the service of God. And for the service of others. Well, you know what you can do? Shine your light? Just serve. Paul said, I served you Corinthians. That was one way he shined his light. Amen. Serve in the little kids class. Who cares where it is? Just serve somebody. You know what goes against our nature to serve people? We want to be served instead of serve other people. You know, you'll never accomplish much for God unless you're first willing to be a servant for God and a servant to other people. Boy, I tell you what, Dalton, you've got the biggest feet I've ever seen in my life. You think I just randomly said that, don't you? No, I'm not that. My brain doesn't work that bad. Now, if I took Dalton's shoes and socks off, and got his big number 15s or whatever they are, and put him up here on the platform and had you come up here and wash his feet, how many of you would get in on that service? No, we don't want to do that. But Jesus did that. You say, what's the point of that? You know what? And we're not going to do that with Dalton. But I bet you there are some services for God that you think just might be a little bit below you. But it's the way you shine your light. It's the way you manifest Jesus Christ to other people by being a servant. He said, "Your servants for Jesus' sake." I'm going to serve you for Jesus' sake, not my sake, not for what I get out of it, but for what, how Jesus can be seen. Verse 6. How do we shine our light? For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Now that's a reference to Genesis. All the way back to the first chapter of the Bible. God commanded the light to shine out of darkness. What did He do? You know what? As dark as our world is right now, it wasn't any darker than it was in Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis chapter 1, you know how much light was there? None. But you know what happened? God stepped out on nothing. God stepped out on nothing, and in the darkness He spoke. Let there be light! And there was light. And the Bible says just like God did that in creation, if you're saved by the grace of God, God did that in your heart. Look at the verse. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In other words, when I saw Jesus, when I was brought face to face with Jesus, I had the knowledge of the glory of God and who God was. There is no light outside of being brought face to face with Jesus Christ. And God shined that light in my heart. Not in my head, but in my heart. You know what we have to do, guys? We have to do the same miracle. We're trying to shine the light of God, not into people's heads, but in their hearts. You know how we do that? We've got to bring them face to face with Jesus. That's why I said what I said this morning, and I really hope you'll pray for me. Somehow I want people to come face to face with Jesus, because right now all they're doing is coming face to face with racism and face to face with politics and face to face with the virus and face to face with violence and face to face with rioting. You understand? That's where their faces are. But no, who's looking at Jesus? They're not looking at Jesus because that's not what they think the problem is. But that's where we got to get them. We've got to get this world face to face with Jesus. We've got to get them to see Jesus, not themselves and not the people that they condemn, but we need to get them to see Jesus. Not even America, but we've got to get them face to face with Jesus so that light can shine into the heart of a blind individual in a dark world that the devil's the God of this world. And that's a miracle. But I tell you what, if God Almighty stepped out on nothing and did that miracle that easy, and some of us in here tonight, we're testimony of how God did that miracle in me. I used to be blind, and the devil used to be my dad, and I used to be in darkness, but that light shined in my heart. And I saw the face of Jesus, and I was brought to that knowledge of the Savior. Then we can do that to other people. But here's the problem. Look at the next verse. This is how we're going to wrap up tonight. Verse 7. Here's the problem. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We're pitiful vessels to do this job, aren't we? I mean, you know what? Sometimes we may think, you know, we've got what it takes. But I tell you what, stand out there in the middle of Detroit, amen, and get up on the sidewalk and say, "Hey, let me tell you about Jesus," and see how many people fall down at your feet and get saved. You know why? These earthen vessels are not very powerful, are they? We don't have the power to step out like God did on nothing and say, "Let there be light." You say, well, preacher, we can witness. Yeah, but we're not trying to get in people's heads again. We're trying to get it down into their hearts. How are you going to get the truth down in somebody's heart? You don't speak that good. You're not that smart. I'm not that smart. Well, here's the verse. Look at it. Verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the what? The power may be of God and not of us. You see, the same power that said, let there be light, and there was light, is the same power of God that lives in my earthen vessel. Wow. You know, every chance I get, I try to kick man to the curb. I think that's God's will. That's my special ministry, to let people know how sorry they are. Yeah. I get that from the reformers, you see. Yeah. All those old men. All those old revivals. To let people know how sorry they are. We're so sorry. You know what God says about us? We're a bunch of earthen vessels. You know what that means? That means you're a dirt pot. You're just a dirt pot. And you know what we do? We take our little dirt pots and we draw little things on them. We shine them up. We put about 5 or 6 coats of paint on them. Right? We put little glittering trinkets all over our earth pots. But you know what they are? They're still dirt. There's nothing to it. You know, there ain't nothing to you. There's nothing to me. But there's some treasure down in the pot if you know Jesus. Now, some people are not worth the salt it'd take, amen, to do away with them. But if you're saved, look at that verse. We have this, what does it say? Treasure. Now here, let me help you. The vessel's not the treasure. That's where people get all mixed up. They think their life is the treasure. Your life's not the treasure. They think their body's the treasure. Your body's not the treasure. The valuable part of you is not your life and your body and your thing. No. But there is a treasure connected with humanity, but only if it's put down in the vessel. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. I could take just a simple, ordinary clay pot and put it up here. Not pretty, not important. Matter of fact, you know, you can take a clay pot if you have an accident and just nudge it accidentally and it falls. It's going to what? It's going to break. That's us. And you know what he talks all the way through the rest of that chapter, what we preach on about fainting? We break really easy. You understand? It didn't take much trouble, much perplexity to break us because we're just an earthen vessel. But what he's trying to tell us in this text is, don't think about your vessel. Think about what God's put down inside of it. What did he put down inside of it? If you just go by this text, you know what he put down inside of it? He put the gospel down inside of it. The gospel, if you're saved, the gospel's the power of God. And if you're saved, he put the gospel down inside of it. You know what else he said he put down inside of it? He says he shined in our hearts. So he took light and he put light down inside of you. You know what else it said? Look, we in the face of Jesus Christ, you know what else is down inside of you if you're saved? You know what's in the vessel? Jesus gets put down in the vessel. Jesus is in the pot. Jesus is in the earthen vessel. You know what else is in the vessel? Look at verse 7 again. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the what? the power may be of God and not of us. You see, because He said in chapter 3, verse 5, that our sufficiency is not of ourselves, to think anything of ourselves. We're just earthen vessels. But our sufficiency is of God. The treasure that He's put down in us is the power of God. We have the power of God, the power of the Holy Ghost, the power of the light of God, the power of the gospel of God, the power of God's own Son is tucked down in my little earthen vessel, and it can shatter, and it's weak, and there's nothing to it. But the treasure that He put down inside of it is the treasure that I need to pour out to the world. Do you see what's the valuable part of it? It's the part Jesus put in you. Preacher, how do we reach a world that has Satan as their God? You let the power of God take your tongue and take your life and take your testimony and use it. It's not just the things you say. It's not just going through the motions. It's yielding ourselves to the power of God in church, what we need, what your pastor needs, what we all need, is not just to live the Christian life and not just to witness, but we need the power of God to take charge of our vessels and start speaking light into the hearts of a dark world. Not me, but the one that's down in there. And you see, the devil wants you to get looking around here and looking on the outside. He doesn't want you to look at the treasure. If I had that pot up here and it looked just so ordinary and plain, you wouldn't want to take it home. But I tell you what, if I had about 25 diamonds in that pot, if I had some 24-karat gold rings down in that pot, amen. If I had some unlimitless credit cards down in that pot, and I said, anybody want this pot? Nothing to it. But if I put treasure in it, it becomes so valuable. Do you have treasure in your earthen vessel? Jesus in there? Is the power of God in there? Then look at the treasure, not at the vessel. And let the light of the glorious gospel of Christ shine through us to a world that is blinded.